Hello, pickers, wherever you are. I've been off in the States for a couple of weeks, and while I was over there, very happily, I recorded a show with my dear friend Jerry Marotta, who I met when he joined Peter Gabriel's band as a drummer. He's had the most unbelievable career, which he'll be talking about. So I'm going to play the tape now, and thank you so much, Jerry. We had a wonderful time together. And here's his first song, which is a song written by Paul McCartney and Elvis Costello, on which Jerry played drums.
Is it all in that pretty little head of yours? What goes on in that place in the dark? Well, I used to know a girl and I could have sworn that her name was Veronica. Well, she used to have a carefree mind of her own and a delicate look in her eye. These days I'm afraid she's not even sure.
Well, that was my first choice by my very special guest today. I'm actually in Woodstock, New York, in a studio belonging to none other than Jerry Marotta. I have to say the way we say it in English, Marotta. Jerry's a very good old friend of mine, and I'm over in the States, and here we are recording our edition. So why did you choose that song, Jerry?
Why did I choose that song? Well, that particular song I actually played on. Ironically, I did a record with Paul McCartney. I know that's Elvis Costello, but Paul co-wrote the song with Elvis. And when I was working with Paul, which was why I wasn't working on So, because Peter had changed the time frame, Peter Gabriel, of recording his next record, which we were lined up to do. And then he changed his schedule at the last minute, which he tends to do. And it was at the same time that I was working with Paul on his record. And so that's basically the story. Working with Paul at his studio in England. And what's funny, if it's stories is what this is all about.
Sure.
Paul, it was Paul, Eric Stewart, and I. Eric Stewart from 10cc.
And
Hugh Padgham was producing it and engineering.
Yeah.
Who I worked with, we know he worked with him on one of the Gabriel records. Paul told me a story about how people were trying to get him to write with Elvis Costello, which would make, to me, total sense. Like someone who had that kind of Lennon sort of approach.
Yep.
It didn't really come together. It wasn't coming together. And that year, later that year, I was in LA and I worked on this record, Spike, the Elvis Costello record.
Okay.
And I asked Elvis about the story about, because I saw that they co-wrote the song together.
Okay.
And I said, well, how did that come about? Because I remember Paul saying that it didn't seem to be coming together. And Elvis said, well, first of all, I don't write with people at the time. I don't co-write. I just write my songs myself. I didn't really. So he said, my manager, people were kept badgering both of us. And he said, finally said, you know what, Jerry? You know those songs that you have kicking around that you can never finish? He said, I had a couple of songs that I just was never able to really finish. And I figured, what do I have to lose? I'll give those to Paul.
Okay.
And not really sure anything was going to come of it. And he said, well, I sent him some stuff. He sent me something back. First thing he sent me back, he said, I thought it was great. I thought he did a great job.
Yeah.
And so they co-wrote a bunch of songs on that Spike record.
Okay.
That Veronica was one of them.
Okay.
And I dare say maybe the last hit that Elvis had.
Yeah.
Like that was a big hit on the radio everywhere.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was Elvis.
Okay. So this is Eric Martin, Lying in a Bed of Fire.
It's a song I recorded with Eric in London. I think it was at the Townhouse, and it was written by Steve Van Zandt? Springsteen's.
Yeah,
you know.
The one with the scarf on his head.
Exactly.
Here it is.
Lie.
Well, we had a bit of confusion over that because that song is called Lying, but without a G, in a bed of fire. And I thought you said lion, as in the big animal.
Okay.
In a bed of fire.
That's a different song.
I think it's a better title, actually. Anyway.
Don't tell Miami Steve. Is it? No, is it Miami? No, it's not Miami Steve.
So that, and that was Eric Martin. So yeah. Did you play on that?
Yeah, I did play on that.
Okay.
Ironically, I did play on that. Eric Martin went on to be in a band. I think they were called Mr. Big.
Okay.
And they had a huge, huge hit.
He's got a good voice.
And he's got a great voice. He's a great singer.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a lot of fun.
Okay. So next, we've got Power to Believe.
That's right.
Dream Academy.
Dream Academy.
Yeah.
You know Dream Academy?
I know the name.
Life in the Northern Town.
Yeah.
You know, I think David Gilmour produced them.
Okay.
A trio. Nick Laird Clues was the writer, the main writer.
Yeah.
And this is an absolutely beautiful, stunning song that I can never get enough of listening to it.
Okay. So did you play on this?
I did.
Yeah. And where was it recorded?
We recorded this at, I can't remember the name of the studio. It was in Earl's Court. And it was the studio that belonged to the guy who mentored the film, the German guy that became a huge film.
Oh.
That used to hang around the driveway at Ashkim House.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Hans Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer. It was, and they had never recorded a record there.
Yeah.
Because they were all synthesizers.
Yeah.
But Hugh Padgham, who was producing the record.
Yeah.
He kind of liked the girl, the studio manager. And
well, you never know.
And that's kind of, I think, why we ended up going there.
As good a reason as any.
And I liked her too. And actually, she liked me.
Uh oh.
And it created a kind of a problem. But Emma Burnham, I think her name was, and Hugo Burnham was her brother.
Yeah.
Who was, I think he was in Gang of Four. He was in a band. Anyway, that's how we ended up there. And we recorded this record. And this is just one of my favorite, you know, they're one of my favorite songs.
All right. So let's listen to it.
Can you hear it? Can you hear the word? Can you hear it? Can you hear the word? He was born and raised in privilege, took everything it
Well, that was the Dream Academy. As you said, that does have a little bit of Peter to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like there's a little bit of that, you know, Gabriel mood.
Yeah, especially at the end.
Yes, exactly.
So Hugh Padgham.
Yes.
You've worked a lot with him.
Love him.
Did he call you for? I mean, did he give you a lot of work?
He with McCartney.
Yeah.
This record, the Dream Academy record.
Yeah.
One of the very best engineers, like, you know, in the top three or five, phenomenal ears. Just incredible, and it made everything was easy. You know, he just, you know, it just. No matter what something sounded like, you know, with Paul, he would plug something in, a guitar into an amp, and he'd be playing, and it wouldn't sound necessarily great.
Yeah.
But, no, you know, we just played and played, and little by little, cues coming out, moving things, going in, and then you go in and listen to it, and it just sounded phenomenal.
But I feel I should say that he produced a lot of Phil Collins stuff.
Yeah.
Solo stuff.
Oh, that, yes, and he also did The Police.
Yeah.
A few of the Police records.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I loved about Hugh, and I love when people do this, when we were working with McCartney.
Yeah.
And he and I, we hung out quite a bit together. He said, you know, this is what I want to do. Yeah. And he pointed to the console.
Yeah.
It's like he wanted to engineer. Like, he just loved engineering. But I've been around long enough, you know, I started out back when the earth was still cooling. That's when I started making records. But there was a transition where engineers got managers and managers negotiated production deals with artists. And for better or for worse, some were great, some, you know, weren't so great. But certainly they made a lot more money. Producing records, and but I mean, Hugh's track record is just unbelievable.
It's
unbelievable.
Can I just pick you up on what you just said?
Yeah, sure.
Can we go back and do a little bit of biographical detail?
Sure.
So you were born and brought up in Tarrytown? No,
I was born in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
And then when I was five, my parents moved back to Westchester County, where I grew up, which is a suburb of New York City.
It's north of New York.
Yeah.
On the east side of the Hudson River.
30 minutes.